Okay, we're going to start today. Our daf is Yud Chet. We're going to start in Yud Zayin. Yesterday, what we saw was a whole bunch of different sources about whether tshuva is accepted or not accepted. And we had distinction between before Gzera Din and after Gzera Din, and Yachid and Sibur, whether it's an individual or it's a group. So we were up to, right now we were trying to bring sources that said, we saw the Yordei Hayam Ba'oniyot. Remember, we tried to bring that source to show, here you see that that a tzibur doesn't get, right? We said that the Yordei Hayam Ba'oniyot, they pray to God and they get saved. And then we said those backwards noons that are in the text of the Tanakh show that basically not everybody gets answered, and they distinguish before Gzera Din and after Gzera Din. And therefore, they say, well, here you see that it's a tzibur, because it's your Yordei Hayam Ba'oniyot. And yet, their prayers don't get answered after Gzera Din. So now they say, no, because really, they were yichidim. It's true, they were a group of people, but a group of people, tzibur really means the entire tzibur, or maybe majority of the tzibur. Here, they were individuals. They were like individuals. Now we have another source, Tashma. Sha'ala Bloria Hagioret. Okay, she's a dmut that's featured here and there. As some people say that actually she wasn't a giyoret yet, she became a giyoret after the story, or at some future point, or maybe she was already a giyoret. The reason why they say that is because she says bitoratchen, it says, as if it's not my Torah. So they assume she must have been a giyoret later. Anyway, she asked Rabban Gamliel, k'tiv bitoratchen. It says in your Torah, asher lo yisa panim. God doesn't find favor in people's eyes. Doesn't show favor to people. Uktiv yisa Hashem panav elecha. But the other pasuk says he does. Hashem finds favor. So now, right, the two pasukim, just right, one is obviously from Birkat Kohanim, and the other is from Dvarim Yud. Okay, it says Ki Hashem Elokechem Hu Elohe Elohim Vadonei Adonim El Gadol Gibor Vanara Asher Lo Yisa Panim Velo Yikach Shochad. There, obviously, it's taken out of context. What does it mean, Lo Yisa Panim? He doesn't just in judgment say, "Oh, I like this guy, I'm gonna help him." Right? It goes along with the shochad. He doesn't take bribes, and he's Lo Yisa Panim. But they take it out of context, and she says, look, it says he's lo yisa panim, and there it says yisa Hashem panav elecha. So how do you reconcile the two? She asked this to Rabban Gamliel, but as she was asking it, nitfala Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. Rabbi Yossi HaKohen happened to be there, and he says, Amar la, em sholach mashal, lama hadavar domeh. I'll give you a mashal. La'adam shenoshe b'chavero mana, the guy who says, you owe me a mana, v'kavalo zman b'fnei ha-melech, and he said, you're going to pay me before the king on X and X date. V'nishpalu b'chayei ha-melech. And he swears, the guy says, I'm going to pay you back on this and this day in front of the king, and I swear on the life of the king. Okay. Higiyazman, you can figure out what's going to happen. V'lo para'o. He doesn't pay him back the money. Ba'la fayes et ha-melech. So now, what's the problem? He goes to the king and he's like, listen, I'm really sorry. I swore in your name, in your life. Because basically, if he doesn't keep to his shvua, now maybe the king will die. Amar lo, right? So he's feeling terrible about the king, right? But he's not really feeling terrible about the fact that he hasn't paid back his debt. So Amar lo, the king says to him, Elboni machulecha, lechu payeset chaverecha. I have no problem. It's okay, you swore him. I can get over it. But you got to go deal with your friend who you haven't paid him back. So, hachanami kam ba'averot she'ben adam l'makom v'kam ba'averot she'ben adam l'chavero. So that's a very interesting statement. Here he says, basically the difference between when Hashem is yisapanim and not yisapanim, Hashem will find favor in you if it's between you and God. But when it gets to you and man, you have to deal with that on your own, and God's not going to find favor if you don't deal with that. Okay, that was his explanation, which is a great explanation. We, even in Tefillah Zakah every year, right, if those of you who say it in the beginning of Kol Nidre, before Kol Nidre we say Tefillah Zakah, and in there there's a whole section about asking the Tefillah from our Chavirim, and we talk about it all the time in Yom Kippur, that Yom Kippurim won't help if you don't get mechila from your friend. But then, for some reason, the Gemara doesn't even accept that opinion, and they say Ad Shabar Rabbi Akiva Bilimed. That was the opinion that was accepted here until Rabbi Akiva came and explained Kan Koding Gzardin Bekan La'achar Gzardin, and that fits in with exactly what we've been saying, that before Gzardin he will use Sapanim, and after Gzardin he won't. So what do you see here? Again, you see that after Gzardin, the Tzibur can't get Tshuva. You know, you can't change it. But then they say, who said this was talking about Tzibur? And they say, Hachanami biyachid. Gzardin diyachid. Hachanami biyachid. But also, this clearly is referring to a yachid, so in which case we can take this source and say, ah, here you see, a yachid after Gzardin can be changed, but not a Tzibur. Okay, and that supports what we've been saying until now, that the Tzibur before Gzardin is fine. The Tzibur even after Gzardin can change the status of whatever was determined for them. Remember, we saw the case of the rain, and then we said, well, the rain was only a case where there was another way to do it without getting rid of the Gzardin. So in the end, we see the Tzibur, Gzardin can be changed. We're going to ask some more questions about it still, but an Yachid can't. So now they say, Ugzardin di Yachid Tanaihi. It's not true that a Gzardin of a Yachid, it's so clear cut, okay? The Gzardin of a Yachid, we said, after Gzardin, there's nothing you could do about it. But now we're going to see that there's different opinions about it. It's actually Machloka Tanaim. Okay? You can see how, right here, you have a great sugya of all sorts of things of how God, right? How God determines these things. We don't really know. We have a real philosophical diyun going back and forth about tshuva, about changing things, about how much our tefillot affect things. The daf we didn't learn together also talked a lot about tefillot. Here we're going to get to that again, like how effective our tefillot are. D'tanya, Haya Rabbi Meir Omer, Shnayim She'alu L'mita. Two people were sick in bed. V'chulyan Shaveh, and they had the same exact disease. V'chein Shnayim She'alu L'gardom L'idon. Okay, two people were about to be killed by the Beit Din. V'dinam Shaveh, and their judgment was also the same. Ze yarad v'ze lo yarad. That one got out of his bed and the other one didn't. Ze nitzal v'ze lo nitzal. This one was saved and the other guy wasn't saved. Mipnei ma ze yarad v'ze lo yarad. Ze nitzal v'ze lo nitzal. Right? This is like a basic fundamental question in Jewish philosophy, right? Yeah, we've seen in Tzadik Biralo, Rasha Avitovlo. Here, it's not necessarily Tzadik Biralo, Rasha Avitovlo. It's just two people who are exactly sick the exact same way. They're exactly about to get killed by the Beit Din, and all of a sudden, one gets set free and the other one doesn't. And one gets out of bed and the other one doesn't. Zeit palel v'na'ana, v'zeit palel v'lo na'ana. And not only that, but it's not like maybe one was with God and one wasn't with God. Both of them prayed. One's prayers got answered, one prayers didn't get answered. Mipnema ze na'ana v'ze lo na'ana. So what's the reason? So according to Rabbi Meir, who brought this story, he says, we're going to see three opinions. Zehit palel tefillah shlema v'na'ana. V'ze loit palel tefillah shlema lo na'ana. Okay, so Rabbi Meir says it's all about the quality of your prayer. Okay, depending on the quality of your prayer, that will affect whether your tefillah get answered or not. Rabbi Elazar amar, kan kodim gzardin, kan achar gzardin. It depends at what point they were. One, God had already determined what he was going to do with them. The other one was still left open, even though in the case of the guy who's about to get killed by the Beit Din, clearly the Beit Din did a gzardin, but God hadn't done his gzardin yet in Shamayim. Okay, so here Rabbi Lazarus fits in with what we've been saying, that a yachid, after gzardin, there's nothing you could do about it. That's the opinion. But Rabbi Meir clearly holds that that's not the case, because he gives a different explanation. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, and here we see a third one, Yafetz akal adam ben kodim gzardin ben lachar gzardin. Okay, he says, here he's not exactly giving an answer to this question, actually, now that I think about it.
He's giving a suggestion.
Right, he's giving a suggestion. And he's, not only is he giving a suggestion, but it's clear, maybe Rabbi Meir, you could say, he's not necessarily clearly arguing with Rabbi Elazar. Because Rabbi Elazar is relating to one issue, and Rabbi Meir is relating to the tefillah issue without hitechesud at all. He's not addressing whether there was gzardin or not. But Rabbi Yitzchak comes and he says, he disagrees with Rabbi Elazar. He doesn't say necessarily why these two guys, one was saved and one wasn't, but he says, Yafetzak al Adam, it's always good to pray, right? Even if it's after Gzardin, you can always go back and do tshuva, and you can be saved. Okay, so here's a basic fundamental argument about this. Now, so until now we've been talking about this yachid, we now see that there's a machloket about the yachid, whether once God determines, can it be changed, or is it set in stone and there's nothing to do about it. The assumption we had until now, though, was that the tzibur clearly can be repealed, right? Even if there's a gzardin, we can take back the gzardin. So now the Gemara is going to question that assumption. Did tzibur mean mikra? Can it really be repealed? Can it be, torn from the lashon of kara, torn? Here we're going to have a contradiction between two psukim, and we're going to see how they explain it. One pasuk, okay, these are both psukim from Yirmiyahu. One pasuk says, kibsi mera alibech. Okay, it says, if the whole pasuk is kibsi mera alibech, kibsi v'lashona l'chabes, kfisa. Wash out the evil from your hearts, Yerushalayim, leman tivash'i. Okay, so that you can be saved. Clearly indicating there's room to be saved, right? Uktiv is a different pasuk. Ki im techabsi b'neter v'tarbilach borit. Borit and neter were chemicals, that, you know, like substances they use for cleaning. If you clean yourself out, nechtam avonech lefanai, it's too late. Your avonot are sealed before me, they're closed, there's nothing to be done about it. Nechtam from lashon of keten, they're stained, right? You, certain things you can't ever get out. Like they're stained, there's nothing you could do about it. So my love, kan kodim gzardin, the kan achar gzardin. Can't we assume that we say that this is before gzardin and this is after gzardin? And then that would basically, isn't that the assumption that when God said it's stained, there's nothing you can do, it's because it was after gzardin, and that's why. And then that basically raises the question. I thought we said tzibur can always be removed, and clearly they're talking to the tzibur here. So the answer, lo, idi v'idi l'achar gzardin. Both of them are after gzardin, and now we're going to see a whole new category. The lo kasha. Kam b'gzardin sheyesh imo shvua. The kam b'gzardin she'ein imo shvua. There's a qualitative distinction between gzardin of God. Sometimes God will have a gzardin with a, we'll swear, lashon shvua, and sometimes he'll say it without. So there's two different types of gzardin. There's certain ones that can be repealed and certain ones that can't be repealed. Once God swears, there's nothing you can do about it. How do we know this? Kidirav Shmuel Bar Ami. The Amor of Shmuel Bar Ami, the Amre la Amor of Shmuel Bar Nachmani. It's unclear whether it's Shmuel Bar Ami, Shmuel Bar Nachmani. Amar of Yonatan. Minayim l'gzardin sheyeshim oshvua she'eino nikra. That once God swears, it doesn't get removed. Shene'emar. Ve'lachein nishbati lebeit Eli. Im yitchaper avon beit Eli b'zevach uv'mincha. When Beit Eli, remember Eli, they're the Kohanim in the time of Shmuel. They were doing all these bad things, and it's unclear exactly what they were doing. They were sleeping with the women who came to the Beit Hamikdash. Some people said they weren't sleeping with them. They were just they were preventing them from going back to their husbands. They were messing up with their korbanot. They were also eating parts that weren't supposed to be theirs. They were threatening people that you have to give us the parts. And there's a whole thing that we actually learned about it in the daf at some point before. Anyway, through the Nibu'ah, it says, L'chein nishbati l'beit Eli, im yitchaper avon beit Eli b'zevach u'mincha, meaning, I will not accept a zevach or a mincha that will allow me to repeal the gzerah I gave on beit Eli. Okay, so there you see, there was a swear, and it never got repealed. Okay, so now Amar Rava. Rava's going to be a smarty pants, and he's going to say, okay, it's unclear whether it's Rava or Rava. Most people say it's actually Rava. Bezevach ubmincha eno mitchaper avam mitchaper b'torah. While it's true that it says bezevach ubmincha, you're not going to be mitchaper, but he will allow you to be mitchaper b'torah. You're going to see in a minute why it was important that Rava said this. Abai Amar bezevach ubmincha eno mitchaper avam mitchaper b'torah u'milu chasadim. Now, what's the issue that Beit Eli was sworn that was going to happen? That in the house of Eli, people were going to die young. That was basically the curse that they got. That not only were they going to get killed, but their tzatzaim were going to die young. So now, Rava says that if they learn Torah, that can repeal the gzerah for the future generations. And Abaye says it's b'torah milu chasadim. So now you're going to see why it was so relevant. Rabba the Abaye mi debet Eli ka'atu. They came from the house of Eli. Rabba the asak b'torah chaya arba'im shnin. Okay, the assumption here, by the way, is that if you're going to die young, you're going to die at age 20. Because you can't be killed before 20. Okay, here you see, we talked about this before, about age in those times, and that some things, the age, how it wasn't so clear-cut, Gil Mitzvot is 12 or 13. But for certain things, it's 20. And yet he lived 20 extra years because of the Torah. And Abaye Amar B'zevach U'Minchai No Mitzchaper Ava Mitzchaper B'Torah B'Lu Chassid. I'm sorry. Went backwards. Abaye da'asak b'torah ubig milu chasadim chayesh shitin shnin. He got 40 years, 20 for the Torah he learned, and 20 for the milu chasadim. Okay, so what you see here, what's interesting about this is, again, every time they're trying to say there's no way out, right, you can't change things, they somehow find ways out. So even in this zardim with the shvuah, you see that it can be repealed by Torah, by Gmilu Chassidim. The rabbis here are trying to encourage people to do things to make their lives better, right? In other words, not to try to discourage people from thinking, oh, you know, there's no hope, right? They don't like to really say, oh, there's no hope. So in the end, they try to give these reasons. One thing that's in my head right now is, well, Beit Eli may be a tzibur because they're a group, a family, but they're not really a tzibur, and Abaye and Rava are individuals. And here we're talking about individuals, and here you're seeing the individuals even, their sardin is getting repealed, right? From Torah and Gmilu Chassadim, that there's certain things that can repeal even the sardin, even for Yachid, what you're seeing here.
Yeah, but their sardin was based
was for
on
a tzibur. Again, the Yordei Hayam wasn't considered a tzibur. What is a tzibur? Okay, so now we have to get to a broader question. What is tzibur? Is tzibur all of Klal Yisrael? Is it maybe a whole family in Klal Yisrael, right? Or that spans over generations? Maybe that's already considered a tzibur. It's unclear exactly what's a tzibur.
I mean, also
that's also a difficulty.
But it became tzibur, meaning it affected.
Right, it started with Beit Eli. Right, that's what I'm saying. It affected for generations, many generations past, and maybe because of that. You know, then we also have the whole issue of, which it doesn't raise here, of how can someone be punished, right, for something that happened generations ago. Generally, we say 3 or 4 generations when it comes to bad, right? And the chesed la'alafim. The chesed can go for alafim, for 2,000 generations, but the nosei avon is for 3 or 4 generations. So how are we talking about Abaye and Rava, who are clearly many, many, many generations after Eli? So again, I don't think this is meant to be taken literally, that they really had a curse on their heads and because they learned Torah, they live longer. But it's really trying to send a message that there's always hope and do good deeds, because that will, you know, the rabbis didn't want to discourage people from thinking there's no hope. So on the one hand, while they have these concepts that, oh, Yachid, after Gzardin, there's nothing you could do. First of all, we never know when the Gzardin is. So because of that also, how do we know when God makes up his mind? So we'll never know whether it's before Gzardin or after Gzardin.
Yeah,
right. So Yafet. So then we get to Yom Kippur. We're actually going to talk about this now a little bit. Okay, we're going to get to it. Along the lines of Eli, we're going to hear another story. Tana Rabbanan, Mishpacha Achat Hayta BiYerushalayim, Shehayu Meiteha Meitim B'nei Yud Chet Shana. Okay, they would always, all their kids would die at age 18. Ba'u V'udiot Rabban Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Amar lahem, Shema Mishpachat Eliatem. Right, here you see, people didn't always know their Yichus. Says, maybe that's the story. Dichtiv Be B'chom Marbit Betecha Yamutu Anashim. Okay, that's the pasuk, that people are going to die as young. Okay? Lechuv Isku B'Torah V'Chiyu. Okay, so go learn Torah and that will save you. Halchuv Asku B'Torah V'Chiyu. And they lived. Okay, this is clearly happening before Abaye and Rabba, right? Because Abaye and Rabba are Amoraim, and this is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was living right after the Korban Bayit, in the year, after 70. V'hayu korinota mishpachat Rabban Yochanan al shmo. And they called their family the mishpachat of Rabban Yochanan, because they basically owed him their lives.
And they didn't want to be called.
And they didn't want to be Eli anymore.
Right, that's also a good point. They didn't want to be called Eli anymore. Okay. Right, there you have also, it's interesting, you have here the concept of Shinoi Shem, right? You change your name and that changes things also. That's a concept that came up, right, about Shinoi Shem. Okay. Amar Shmuel bar Inia, Mishmei Derav, Minayim v'gzar din shel tzibor she'eino nechtam. So how do we know that the gzar din of a tzibor is never sealed entirely? So now the Gemara asks first, eino nechtam? What do you mean it's never nechtam? V'haktiv, we just said, nechtam avonech lefanai. Your avon is stained. Right here it's not the same nechtam, it's nechtam avachach. Your avon became a stain, but it means it's permanently imprinted there. Ela, what does it mean? Af agav she'nechtam nikra. It means it can be sealed, but even once it's sealed, it can come out, right? You ever have a really bad stain that you know, take it to the dry cleaners and maybe they'll get it out? So even though it seems really stained, it could still be repealed. So how do we know this? Shenamar, and here we're going to get to what you're talking about, Sherry, in one more minute. Shenamar, Hashem Elokeinu v'kol koreinu elav. God will always, always hear our prayers, okay? So this is a pasuk that comes from Dvarim, and it basically is saying that we can turn to God whenever we want. But that's a pasuk that's relating to the tzibur. So then we're going to see in a minute that they say that. But then they say, v'haktiv Yerushu Hashem b'himatzo. Go find God when he can be found, not all the time, but Yerushu Hashem b'himatzo. Right? That's a pasuk that seems to indicate, that's from Shayam Nun Hey. We read that on fast days and stuff. On Yom Kippur we read, right? No, it's just on fast days. Okay. Maybe we also, I can't remember now. Yerushu Hashem b'himatzo. So we go find God when he can be found. So what do they answer? Hatam b'yachid, hacha b'tzibur. Ah. When can we find God? Anytime we want. That's when we're talking about at tzibur. But the yachid can only find God b'himatzo. And now they're going to say, what's b'himatzo? B'yachid emat. So what's that time? Amarav b'ravua, elu atzara yamim shebein Rosh Hashanah liyom kippurim. Okay, those are the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, and that's what Sherry's saying, that we know when our Gzar Din is Nechtam. It's Nechtam and Yom Kippurim. Okay, but we're going to see that not everybody agrees that these are the 10 days. There's this concept that maybe there's a concept of 10 days otherwise. We'll see in 1 minute. Now, they're going to tell the story of Naval. Okay, Naval was someone who David helped. And then David went to him for when Naval had this, I think it was a kerem or a lot of produce, I forget exactly what he had, but David went to him and said, I want you to give my avadim and give us some of your produce, and he wouldn't. So it says, Vayihi ka'aseret hayamim, vayigof Hashem et Naval. After 10 days, okay, asara yamim, maya bidatayu. After 10 days, God brought a magefa on Naval. So they say, why 10 days? Why did he give him 10 days? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, kineged eser legimot shenatan Naval avdei David. While Naval didn't really give avdei David very much when they came to him, he gave them a little bit because he could not give them anything. So he gave them 10 sips. So because of the 10 sips he gave them of some wine, that's, he got schut to have 10 extra days. So here they're kind of saying the 10 days could be this concept of just getting a little extra time. Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Elo asara yamim shebein Rosh Hashanah liyom kippurim. Is that these 10 days, you know, here they're, I guess, making a comparison. I don't know if he means literally those 10 days happen to come out exactly to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, or he's saying that the concept of these 10 days is that God gives man 10 days from, let's say, when he does an avera to kind of make up for it, and he has these 10 days, and this is this concept that comes up a lot back and forth here. Is there something magical about these 10 days, right, this time of year, Yerushu Hashem b'himatzo, or is it something that's always there, right? It's always around, and man always has a certain amount of time, and that's why I said the Gzar Din, on the one hand, you could say, Gzar Din, we know it's on Yom Kippur, but it could be that everybody has their own Gzar Din, right? There was a discussion earlier about whether God judges us once a year, or God judges us b'chol sha'ah, or once a day, right? There was this concept of how often is God judging us? So our Gzar Din, while on the one hand we say the Gzar Din happens Yom Kippur, I'm not so sure it's always Yom Kippur. In other words, sometimes there could be this personal Gzar Din for a particular event. So, but there's a concept of 10 days, that you kind of get these 10 days. I wonder where 10 comes from. Like if there's a concept of 10 otherwise, trying to think, like 7 is always a number that we see. 10 specifically, I mean obviously these 10 days by the, you know, have 7 in them. Why? Because Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, if you take away those days, you're really left with 7 in between. So in a sense, maybe it does relate to the 7. And the Sfirot also, there's the 10. The 10 comes up with the Sfirot, and I guess you could go in that direction. Okay. B'Rosh Hashanah, kol ba'ei olam ovrim lefanav kivnei maron. Okay, I want to just look back for 1 minute before we finish, before we go into the section, because we're going to see that the rest of, it's important to look back at the Mishnah for 1 minute. It says, B'Rosh Hashanah, kol ba'ei, right, this is ba'arba'a prakim ha'olam nidon. There's 4 times a year that people get judged. B'Pesach ha'latvua ba'aser ha'perot ha'ilan. B'Rosh Hashanah, kol ba'ei olam ovrim lefanav kivnei maron. We're going to see exactly what b'nei maron means. Then they say Shene Emar. We're going to see this. I wanted you to see that this pasuk appears in the Mishnah because the Gemara is going to bring it up. But it was important to me that you realize that it appears also in the Mishnah. Shene Emar Hayotzir Yachad Libam Hamivino Kol Maasein. Okay, that God creates all of their hearts together. I'm specifically translating it very literally because we're going to see drashot on this pasuk soon. Hamivino Kol Maasein. He understands all their actions. Okay, and therefore God is judging. He's the one who judges. B'Rosh Hashanah, kol ba'ei olam avrim lefanav kivnei maron. My kivnei maron, what does b'nei maron mean? Hacha tirgumu, here they explain kivnei amarna, like sheep. Okay, here meaning in Babel. They explain like sheep, right? We always have that image. We pass like sheep. What's the sheep? When they did the Maaser Behema that we've learned about, they would pass the sheep through one by one by one, so that you wouldn't miss one, right? Because if they go together, right, it would be this narrow passageway, and they start going through one by one. Like sheep. Rish Lakish amar kima'alot beit meron. Okay? Here, Meron is a very steep mountain. And they say it's like this narrow path that goes up to the steep mountain, which really like leads to a cliff almost. Okay? We're going to discuss it in 1 minute. Okay? Where it's this very narrow passageway that goes up to Beit Meron. Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel kechayalot shel Beit David. Okay, it's like the soldiers of the house of David that also, right, soldiers always walk in lines. Okay? I saw a nice translation that was quoted in the Koran. I wanted to bring up here. He says here, I'll just read it. Aside from the disagreement, quotes this in the Petach Einayim. With regard to the meaning of the words, the Gemara is explaining 3 mitigating factors that could lead to a more favorable judgment. One describes people as sheep. What's unique about sheep? Sheep don't realize what they're doing. They don't have dad, right? So they're just going like sheep, blindly, right? Almost like, you know, they're just being sent by their shepherd. Another describes the role of mankind in this world as climbing a tall mountain with an abyss on either side. Okay? And the third sees the Jewish people as the army of God in constant battle with the Yetzer Hara. So it's 3 different images that you can take from this. Amar Rabba Bar Chanan Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Bikulan, here he says a very interesting passage that nobody really knows what it means. Bikulan miskarim b'skira achat. Everybody gets looked at, right? Skira is like a seker, right? A poll. Everybody's polled, everybody's dealt with in one skira, like one look. It's, on the one hand, we're walking one by one, which sounds very individualized. God's looking at us one by one. On the other hand, if you think about sheep, right? Sheep really aren't, they're not looked at as individuals. And so they say we're all judged as one, okay? So now they're going to show some psukim that show this concept, that we're all judged as one. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, av ana nami tanina, hayotzer yachad libam, hamevino kol ma'aseh, mai ka'amar. What does this mean? Ilema, if we're going to say hachi ka'amar, divarin hu lekulei ama, that he created everybody, umiyachad libayu ka'adadeh, and he made all their hearts the same. Okay, is that possible? Clearly not. We see that that's not true. We see we don't all have the same heart. We're not all created the same way. Adraba, right? Everyone is created so differently one from another. It must be hayotzer ro'eh yachad libam. He sees all their hearts together. When God looks at us and judges us, he sees everything together at the same time. And yet, umevino kol ma'asem. But yet, he can understand each one in their individual ma'asim. Okay, I wanted to just—it's very difficult to understand this. And I wanted to just bring up the Rambam on this Mishnah. The Rambam on the Perusha Mishnah says, he says b'nei maron. He said he translated it as hatzon. Okay, like the sheep. V'tirgum kfasim amaraya. That's the word kfasim means is amaraya. Klomar shemechashvin im b'nei adam. שמחשבן עם בני אדם, ודנים אותם לבריאות, מחלה ומוות בחיים, וזולת זה משאר מצבי האדם. In other words, he judges each one individually. ופשט לשון זה ברור, it's very clear, כמו שאתה רואה. Aval sodo v'inyano en safek shehu kashe me'od. Okay, he says, we can say, okay, yeah, we understand the pshat of this, but what this really means is very difficult to understand. And if the Rambam can't understand it, right, who are we to try to understand it? But clearly he's saying these are very difficult concepts to understand, what they mean, and what it means that we're all going kivnei marom, we're going like sheep, and if we say God sees us all at once, but yet judges us individually, right, how does that work? And what's the significance of him seeing us all at once? Is it trying to show the greatness of God that he can see everybody at once and yet see our individual natures? I was actually thinking maybe it's trying to also be a lesson to us, to judge people individually. We like to put people into categories and, you know, oh yeah, you're that kind of person and you're that kind of person. And to see that there's much more to people than what you first, right? When you look b'skira achad, you can't really see kol ma'asein. Only God has the ability to do that, but we obviously can't. Okay, so these are all different issues about how we're judged and what happens with our judgments and can we repeal our judgments and the inner workings of God, which as much as the Gemara is trying to get at how it works, you can see that they're struggling to understand exactly how it works. And even when they explain things, the Mefarshim say, you know, this clearly isn't clear and it's still hard to understand. Okay, new Mishnah. Al shisha chodashim hashluchim yotzim. Okay, so until now we've talked about the different times of year where people get judged. First, we have the different times of year that qualify. First of all, what's the chut that goes through all these Mishnayot is they're numbered, right? There's the four Rosh Hashanim. Then there's the four times of year that we're judged. And now we're getting to the 6 months where when they set the Chodesh, the Kiddush HaChodesh, from here we're going to get into all these issues of Kiddush HaChodesh, when they determine when Rosh Chodesh was, they used to do the bonfires, and then they couldn't do bonfires anymore, but there were 6 months where they would make sure to send shlichim. Okay, we're going to get to the bonfires and all that after. But they had to send shlichim to Chutz La'aretz and to the rest of the land to know when the holidays were. So there were six particular months where people had to know for the holidays what was going to come out. And we're going to immediately start jumping. What do you mean 6 months? There's more than 6 months. And what about the others? Because it's not just holidays. It's also fast days. So we're going to see. Al shisha chodeshim ha-shluchim yotzim. Al nisan mipnei ha-pesach. Al av mipnei ha-ta'anit. Okay, what's missing here? Shavuot. Why is Shavuot?
Because you can count it exactly.
Because you counted it, because Shavuot has nothing to do with the Kiddush HaChodesh. Yes. Shavuot, we learned, according to one opinion, it could be Hey, Vav, or Zayin. Right? It all depended on, it was 50 days, Mimacharat HaPesach, the 50th day. So it had nothing to do with the Kiddush HaChodesh. Av mipnei atani, tisha ba'av, alelu mipnei Rosh Hashanah. What's the issue? If you don't know if Elul had 29, or Av had 29 or 30 days, so you didn't know when Elul started, you wouldn't know what the two options were for Rosh Hashanah, because each month, depending on when the last one started, that would affect your next one. Al Tishrei mipnei takanat ha-moadot. Okay, so it's true Rosh Hashanah anyway was 2 days, but the rest of the holidays they need to know about and later in the month. Al Kislev mipnei Chanukah. Okay, here some people ask, but by the 25th, didn't people know anyway? Mm-hmm. But apparently not. Va'al Adar mipnei Purim. Ukishaya Beit HaMikdash Kayam Yotzin Af Aliyar Mipnei Pesach Katan. Okay, Pesach Sheni, people need to know about in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. So, right, once there's no Beit HaMikdash, it's not so relevant, but except for, you know, minhag and maybe eating matzah or things like that, but otherwise it's not really relevant, but in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, they needed to do that. Now they say, the Livku Namiya Tammuz V'Tevet, what about Shivasar B'Tammuz, Asara B'Tevet, which we're going to see, might not necessarily be Shivasar B'Tammuz and Asara B'Tevet, okay? De Amar Abchana Barbizna Amar Rishimon Chasida, my Dichtiv, Ko Amar Hashem Tzvaot, Tzom HaRivii, V'Tzom HaChamishi, V'Tzom HaShvii, V'Tzom HaAsiri, Yehiye LeBeit Yehuda LeSason U'LeSimcha. Okay, here's a very famous pasuk, which comes up in Zechariah, where it says that the fast days, okay, the one, the fourth, the fifth, the seventh, and the tenth, are all going to turn into days of happiness. Okay, when the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt, these will turn into days of happiness. Now it says, Kari Leitzom, V'Kari Leitzom V'Simcha. On the one hand, it calls them Tzom. On the other hand, it calls them Sason V'Simcha. So what do we learn about these? Bizman Sheyesh Shalom, Yulis Sason V'Simcha. When there's peace, these are going to be happy days. Ein Shalom Tzom. So what do you see here? These were days that were either happy days or were either fast days. In any case, they need to know the dates. So why didn't they send out Shlichim? So Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa has a different explanation of this pasuk. And from here, it's actually going to be something interesting that I bet you never knew. Hachi Ka'amar. בזמן שיש שלום, יהיו לששון ולשמחה. יש גזירת מלכות, צום. אין גזירת מלכות ואין שלום. Okay, what if, right? So when there's peace, they're going to be happy days. יש גזירת מלכות, it's going to be צום. But what if, אין גזירת מלכות ואין שלום? What if you're in this in-between? There's no gzeirat malchut. On the other hand, there's no peace, right? You could almost describe our time like this, right? You know, we don't have peace with our neighbors, unfortunately. But we also don't have gzeirat malchut. We're our own bosses. So what do they say? Ratzu mitanim, ratzu ein mitanim. If you want to fast, you can fast, but you don't have to fast. It's a
optional
fast. Okay. So now, what's interesting is historically, by the time of the Amoraim, this was a real fast. But it was eventually accepted upon the tzibur. The tzibur decided to take this path. There's a whole machloka between the mefarshim. Does it mean that each individual can decide for himself? Or does it mean that the community as a whole can decide whether they want to make it a fast or whether they don't? There's a big discussion, but in the end they say that ultimately it became a chovah, you know, it became a fast day because the tzibur accepted it as a fast day. But what they're saying is that back in the time of the Mishnah, they didn't mention this in the Mishnah, so says Rav Papa, because in the time of the Mishnah, it was b'siman she'ela. Okay, which you can understand also, because they were living right after the Churban, and then there was the destruction, and then, you know, it was all about how do we deal with this new situation, how do we assess what we're up to, and whether this is fast, not fast. So, okay. Ihachi Tisha B'Av Nami. Hey, Tisha B'Av is in this list. Of right Tisha B'Av. What's first of all? Maybe I didn't explain this yet. We're going to get to this later. But Soma Rivi'i means in the fourth month. Okay, right? Nisan Iyar Sivan Tammuz. The Rivi'i is Tammuz, right? Av Elul. Av is the Chamishi, right? Shvi'i is Tishrei. Tzom Gedalia. And Asiri is in Tevet. Asara B'Tevet. Okay, they're called based on the months that they appear in. So Tisha B'Av also should be the same. So why is that one mentioned? Amar Rav Papa, Shani Tisha B'Av, Ho'il V'Huchpilu Bo Tzarot. Da'amar Mar, B'Tisha B'Av, Charav Habayit HaRishona, Uba Shmiya V'Nokida Beitar V'Nechrusha Ha'ir. Okay, there were many things that happened at Tisha B'Av. It wasn't just one thing. Okay, who could tell me why? What would be a good question on this? Also, Shiva Asar B'Tamuz, it says the same thing. Yechpilu Bo HaTzarot, and there's a whole list of things that happened on Shiva Asar B'Tamuz. So just because all these things happened at Tisha B'Av, why does that have better precedence? But obviously the answer is that the things that happen on Tisha B'Av are much more chamor than the ones that happen on Shavuot, Sabbath, Tammuz. But it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't bring that as an answer. Okay? That should have been the Gemara's answer. Tanya, okay, now we're going to hear about these four tzamot and a big machloka between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva. Not big, but a machloka. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Arba'at varim haya Rabbi Akiva doresh, ve'en ani doresh kamoto. There were four things that Rabbi Akiva would be doresh, and I didn't agree with him about them. Soma Rabbi'i zet Tet b'Tammuz, Shebo Huvka'a Ha'ir. Sound familiar to you? Not really, right? The 9th of Tammuz, whoever said the 9th of Tammuz. We fast on Shiva Asar b'Tammuz, Yud Zayin. So what happened on the Tet Tammuz? Huvka'a Ha'ir, the city fell, basically. Shene'amar, b'tish'a l'chodesh. I think it's b'chodesh ha'rivi'i, b'tish'a l'chodesh. V'yechazak ha'ra'av ba'ir, v'lo haya lechem la'am. The Pasuk says that on the 9th of the month, that's what the Pasuk says, on the 9th of the month, the famine got very strong in the city, because the city was under siege, right? They had no food. And the city fell. So why is it called Revi'i? Revi'i l'chodeshim. Okay, there's a whole deyun about why we do Shivasar instead of Tish'a. So they say in the second, some people say that in the second Beit HaMikdash, Shivasar b'Tammuz was the day that the city fell. And therefore, since the second Beit HaMikdash was worse or harsher, or maybe it was just closer to home because it happened more recently, right? So they put it on that date instead of the 9th. They didn't want to have two fasts in one month, right? They thought two fasts within a few days of each other was too much. So they decided on one date. But anyway, the date in the Torah here says the 9th. So why is it called Rivi'i? Because it's Rivi'i, the fourth month. Soma Chamishi, Zet Tisha B'Av, Shavon Yisraf Beit Eloheinu. V'amai kari lechamishi, chamishi lechodeshim. Tzom ha-shvi'i, ze gimel b'tishrei, right? So, I'm sorry, I didn't translate, but the fifth month, right? The fifth is Tisha B'Av, that the Beit HaMikdash was burned. The seventh, ze gimel b'tishrei, that's the third of Tishrei, shebo nehara Gedalia ben Achikam. They killed Gedalia, umi harago Yishmael ben Netanya harago. L'lamdecha sheshkulami tatan shel tzadikim kisrefat Beit Eloheinu. V'amai kari lechvi'i, shvi'i lechodeshim. So here we learn Gedaliah was assassinated, right? It was the first Jewish assassination. He was killed by Yishmael ben Netanyah. And what do we learn from here? That the death of Tzadikim is just like the fact that this is put next to the Tzomach Hamishi, where the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. We see the killing of Tzadikim is like burning the Beit HaMikdash. Tzom HaAsiri, Ze Asara B'Tevet, Shebo Samach Melech Bavel al Yerushalayim. That was when they put the siege on Jerusalem. Okay? By Yehi Shanemar, which happened way before, right? Before this all happened, I actually don't remember if it was, I think it was even a year and a half before. Shanemar, Vayihi Dvar Hashem Elai, B'Shana HaTshi'it, B'Chodesh HaAsiri, B'Esor LeChodesh, Lemor. Okay, this is a Nevuah B'Yechezkel. Ben Adam, Tov Lecha Ad Shem Hayom, Et Etzem Hayom Hazeh, Samach Melech Bavel Yerushalayim. Write down the name of this day, because this is the day that they besieged Jerusalem. Ba'amai Kari LeAsiri, Asiri LeChodeshim. So now comes the question. The halo hayara oiz zelich tov rishon. The pasuk should have listed, right, if you go chronologically. So until now it was okay, it was chronological. You had the, you had Tammuz, the city fell, Av, it was burned, and Gedaliah is living with the people after the destruction in Israel. There were a few people left, and there was a whole disagreement. Should we stick with the Bavlim? Should we not? Should we go against them? Should we surrender to them? And he thought we should surrender to them and live, you know, the way we can live in Israel, better to live there under the Shultan of Bavli. People disagree with him for political reasons, and they killed him. So now, that's all in order. But all of a sudden, the 10th one is out of order. Because the 10th, while it's the 10th month, it's really, it happened a year and a half before, if I'm not mistaken. If not, it was at least half a year, but I'm almost positive it was a year and a half before. So now they say, V'alozei or L'chitovishah, V'lama nechtavkan, K'dei l'haskir chodeshin k'tiknan. This is a very interesting tefisa, actually. To us, it doesn't matter anymore the order of when the things historically happened. It's important in our calendar. How to know in our calendar the order. So it goes in order of the months. But it comes from Rabbi Shimon and says, this is what Rabbi Akiva said, V'ani eini omer ken, I don't agree with him. El atzom ha'asiri, ze chamisha b'tevet. What happened on chamisha b'tevet? This would be chronologically after the Korban. Shebo bat shmu'al ha'golashu, ta'ha'ir. Shneamar vayhi b'shtei asrei shana ba'asiri b'chamisha l'chodesh. I hear you say the year. So the year was the 9th, and here it's the 12th month, the 12th year. So I guess it was two. Right, it was 2.5 years after then, according to that, because the korban happened. Would it be 3 years later? Right, I guess 3 years. You know, this is a few months later. Right, 2.5 years later. So vayhi b'shtei asrei shana ba'asiri b'chamisha l'chodesh legalutenu. Ba elai ha-palit mi-Yerushalayim le'mor hukta ha'ir. Ah, the messenger came and told us in Bavel, right, that the city was destroyed. Ba'asu yom shmua ki yom srefa. And they dedicate a fasting, not for any historical event of a tragedy to happen, but just hearing about it was a tragedy. You see this from Dina Avelut. If you don't know someone died and you find out later, that's the day, right, you tear kriya then. So when you're in dvara, but he said, but in the right, my thing seems much more logical. Shani omer arishon rishon v'alacharon acharon. V'hu omer arishon acharon v'alacharon rishon. So he's got the order all messed up, and my order makes more sense. Ala shehu mones seder lechadashim, v'ani mones seder lepuraniyot. He says it makes much more sense to do the order according to the puraniyot. Okay, fine. Let's stop here, and we'll start tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to get into Megillat Ta'anit. Okay, Megillat Ta'anit, just to give you some background, was a book that was written. It was around in the time of the Mishnah, probably written before that. And there's a list of all sorts of days that you can't fast on. They were days where happy events occurred. Okay, we actually had some yechasid to this in the past, where we said about if a miracle happens to you. If you remember, we had this sugyot about miracles. I think it was in Masechet Shabbat. And if a miracle happens to you, does that become like a special day or not? And we talked about that there were certain days where miracles happened to the Tzibur, and they said, oh, you can't, you know, we don't do Tachanun, we don't fast, we don't do Hespedim, all sorts of things that they wouldn't do on those days. And then the question is, here we're going to start with, was it bitela or is it still kayam? In other words, did we basically get rid of mikilat ta'anid and we no longer treat those days as special days or not, and what's the status of it? And then they bring some cases where it looks like we did or we didn't. Well, we'll get into that tomorrow.
Is that on a community-wide basis? Because you had in the Beit HaMikdash families, individual families.
Right. So mikilat ta'anid, as far as I know, was a community-wide basis. The question is, these miracles that happen, miracles obviously don't always happen to the whole community at large. I assume these were events that happened to portions of the community, and then they separate these days for everybody.
To consider it.